We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello and welcome to This Is Football Season 2, Episode 2, brought to you by our good friends on Tesco's Express. Trev, coming up later on the show, we have a great interview with the man in black, Paul Larkin, referee for over 16 years, going through his career, how he started, the ups and the downs of refereeing, the joys, the lows. Great interview coming up, so looking forward to getting that in part two. We also never mentioned our new crest. I hope everybody likes our new crest that we have going out there. We took a bit of time to mull over, so we got our new crest out there. We start the show off, Trev, and just get straight into our last week's predictions. I don't know how we done on that.
You know well how you
did. You win?
No, I didn't.
Did you not? I don't know.
No.
I didn't check them. Let's go through them.
Right, okay. So we had we had Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest. So last week we had Scott on. Scott's unavailable for this one. And Killian Owens.
Hang on, can we just call Scott out? He's only part of the show and he's gone missing. We brought in a new former at League of Ireland and he's gone. We called him out as a pundit and he wanted to be, what did he say?
He's a spoofer is what he is as well. That's his official title.
Yeah, he said, I can't remember what, Fred, expert. I called him a pundit and he said no, expert. And then he goes legging it after 1 week. Anyway, only joke with Scott. Scott was unavailable tonight, so we ploughed on without him. But go ahead, Trev, sorry.
Right, so Villa and Forest, Villa 1-4-2. So Scott said Villa, I said draw, you said Villa, and Killian said Villa. So I'm already behind. Brighton and Everton. Scott said draw, which it was. I said home. You said home. Killian said away. So Scott's 2-1 up there. Let me see. Then we had Crystal Palace, Burnley. We all went home apart from Killian. So three of us got that right. Man United and Fulham. Right.
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
Oh, Scott. That's why you haven't got Scott, because he was at that game.
He was even over to that game. He's probably still over there crying.
They lost, but the way they lost, like getting an equaliser in the injury time and then to go and lose it, must be sickening. But Scott said home, I said home. So the one time I back United and they let me down. You said home and Killian said draw. So we all got that wrong. Good win by Fulham. I didn't see any of it. I believe the United's defending was shocking, but I don't know. Bournemouth, nil. Man City won, tighter than we thought, but we all predicted that City would win, so we got that. Arsenal and Newcastle, I think we all said home, and we all got that. I'll give the final figures out in a second. Wolves won, Sheffield United nil. So Wolves won 1-0, so we all said home. Yeah, so we all got that right. And then the game on the Monday night was West Ham 4, Brentford 2. So Scott said away, so he got that wrong. I got it wrong, I said away. You said home, and Killian said home. So the final score was Scott got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Paul got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Killian got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So
the ounces are rocking.
The ounces draw. So I'll give that one to Killian. So Killian wins this week.
He can have that one. And nothing new, you came last.
Yeah, and well, you know, and we also had a game on Sunday that you wanted to comment about. Liverpool 1-1-0. But sure, what can we want to say?
I am going to comment about that. Can I comment on that for a
little
bit?
You didn't want to predict on it, but you want to comment on it? Okay, go on.
No, I do want to comment on it. What a waste that Chelsea team is. Mm. They're never going to get a bigger chance to win a cup.
No
matter what cup. They blew that. Absolutely. They've no chance of beating Liverpool at full strength. If they can't go out and beat that team that was out there,
it comes down to mentality and just management. Like, I mean, he clearly doesn't have either. Like that team, that Liverpool team. Now I know the players being a Liverpool fan, but I'm sure the average or whatever the neutral would look at that and say, "Who are these?" Like, if they were playing again last night against Norwich, and a 16-year-old made his debut, so and an 18-year-old made his second game and he scores 2 goals. So look, they are talented, but you're in a final in Wembley, you know. You have two players in the centre mid that play. They paid over 100 million for. never mind anybody else. And just never happened. They didn't take their chances. They did have chances. They just didn't take them. And then Liverpool seized on it.
Let Liverpool into the game as well. Yeah. Many times they kept letting Liverpool in. But enough about that.
Okay. So we'll look at this week's Premiership. So so the first game at 3 o'clock is Brentford versus Chelsea. Chelsea.
Oh, Jesus. I'll pick Chelsea.
So will I, because Brentford can't buy a win. Chelsea have too much firepower. Like, they can't get it wrong all the time. I'm going to go Chelsea as well. Everton, West Ham.
That's a tough one.
Well, West Ham got their first win of the new year there on Monday night. Everton home. I'm going to say...
And Everton got the points reduction reduced to 6 points, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to say draw there.
I'm going to go West Ham.
Okay. Fulham-Brighton. That'll be a good game. Open game. Brighton start to get a bit of form back. Fulham, good win against United.
7th, Fulham, 12th or something? Who's at home?
Fulham are home.
I'm going to go for a draw.
So am I. Newcastle and Wolves. I'm going to say it again. I'm sitting on the fence. I'm going to go draw.
That's another tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Newcastle Wolves 9th against 10th. I'm gonna go Newcastle.
Okay. Nottingham Forest, Liverpool.
Nottingham Forest. Liverpool, that has to be.
Yeah. Spurs, Crystal Palace.
Spurs have been shocking since he got the ball fit, haven't they?
And Palace. Palace lost their manager. Palace have a new manager now.
Spurs.
Luton and Aston Villa.
That's actually a derby, Spurs and that one.
Luton
and Aston Villa.
Same. We've only got one or two differences there, but Burnley and Bournemouth. Burnley can't buy a win either. I'm gonna say Bournemouth.
Burnley and Bournemouth. I'm gonna go with a draw.
Okay. Manchester City versus Manchester United.
Has to be City.
City. And the Monday night game is Sheffield United versus Arsenal.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That has to be Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Plus two.
Arsenal, but yeah, easily. Do you know what? Actually, I'm going to look at it as well. We'll fly through because we did it last week. We've a full set of fixtures for the League of Ireland tomorrow night. Really quick, we haven't a clue about this, so we probably do well. Bowes and Dundalk.
Bowes at home. I'm just going to go for, obviously, Dundalk.
I'm going to go draw. Derry, St. Pat's.
I thought you would have slaughtered me on that one.
No,
Derry,
no.
Derry, St. Pat's. I'm going to go with, after St. Pat's last week, what brutal, dirty home win.
I'm going to go draw. Galway United and Waterford, the two teams that came up.
Oh.
That's a good one as well.
Looks, I haven't seen that in Waterford, but I like that.
Waterford are a good team.
I watched them against Pat's. I'm going to Galway.
I'm going to go draw. I've drawn all of them so far. Sligo and Shelburne. I'm going to go Shelburne.
I'm going to go for a home win.
Okay. And Rovers against Drogheda United. Rovers one point Rovers out of three games, two games.
Rovers, it has to be Rovers.
Yeah, it has to be Rovers, yeah. So that's it. That's enough. That's all the predictions. So if you want to do any bets out there, just listen to what I said and do the opposite. You'd be grand.
Yeah, another win for me. So here we have. So coming up in part two, we have Paul Larkin. So we're delighted to be joined by the man in black, Paul Larkin. Paul has been a ref for over 16 years. He's refed in some leagues such as the NDSL, Amateur League, United Church League, Schoolboy Internationals, the Junior Leagues. There's loads to go on there. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, lads. Thanks for having me on. It's good to come on to the podcast. I listen every week, so it's a strange one, to be honest.
Fair play to you, buddy. Fair play. Paul, the man in black, as I said earlier on, not an easy task. Sometimes it's very enjoyable. But before we get into that and some of the leagues that you've reffed in, what made you get into it in the first place?
I suppose, like, my father was a referee back in the day, you know, when I was always growing up as a kid, my father was a referee. So then I obviously played, and I never played at any sort of significant high level or anything like that. I just played with teams around Ballymun. And I suppose when I stopped playing, because I was an old school left back, I wasn't like these modern lads who run up and down the wing. Like, as soon as I got to the halfway line, I had vertigo and I went back, you know. So I suppose it was an extension of your career, and of your love of the game, I suppose, you know, that you wanted to get on and do it. So yeah, I just wanted to sort of extend my time in the game. I'd done a bit of coaching, and my friend was a coach there in the NDSL, and Sean was also a ref. My mate Sean Kidd is also a referee. So yeah, I think it was sort of like not a natural progression, but I think it was always in the back of your mind to do it, and then I just took the leap and done it.
Excellent. Paulie, what age was that when you were reffing, when you started your first ref?
I started reffing when I was 35, probably 34, 35.
Yeah, fair play. And would you went straight into NDSL, or was it amateur, or what?
Yeah,
did you
start out with school NDSL. Yeah, really straight into NDSL. Like, when you do your course, you're assigned to a league, and obviously I knew some of the lads in the NDSL, and I ended up under the sort of wing of Danny Lamb in the NDSL. I think sometimes people underestimate the help we receive from leagues and that. Like Danny Lamb, for me, would be, had a huge influence on your referee career, but on your time as a referee, he was a huge support. He helped me all the way along, you know, and he's an assessor. He's a very experienced referee. He's an assessor. He was the allocator. And I just found myself in the NDSL under himself, and like Tommy Gaines was running it then. And yeah, just sort of grew from there, you know. And then as you get older, I suppose, you move from schoolboy football. I only moved leagues from schoolboy football because I had my own children coming through play. And it ended up, I had one the Saturday, one the Sunday, which was super. And therefore, I refereed on a Sunday because Sandra could take the lads to football. But then as soon as I had three lads on a Sunday playing football, I had to move to senior side of football. And not through the want or anything, just it was probably necessity to keep refereeing. I moved to the senior side of the game because I have three lads playing on a Sunday. And I didn't want to be a small-sided referee. I wanted to be an 11-a-side referee, if that makes sense. So I ended up moving to senior football.
And with your first game, did you go into 11-a-side party or just touching down there on small-sided games? Did you have small-sided games?
Started at small-sided. Yeah, started at small-sided. My first game was local up in Ashbourne. My first game was in Ashbourne. Small-sided game, it was like the World Cup final, I'd say. I was prepared from the night before. I'd all my gear out like as if I was going to school. I'd my new uniform out on the bed. Had on making sure and double checked and triple checked and quadruple checked to make sure I had yellow cards, red cards. And you sort of overthink the occasion. You were going out to ref 3 under-10 games and you made sure you had a red card, yellow card, notebook, pen, pencil. And you went out like you were reffing the World Cup final, you know. And I suppose from that first day, we were always sort of led into us that the most important thing of being a referee is being prepared and going out for a game and arriving on time and being there in time. Because I think if you set your standard all the way through, if you're being professional, I think that'll get yourself away with a lot as a referee, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people that I talk to, I'm a ref now as well, as you know, Paul. A lot of people that are thinking about going into refereeing or won't go into refereeing have the image, I'm just saying, do you agree with me or not, that they have the image of this 11-a-side going on a senior match, lads kicking lumps out of each other, flying at a real tough match to referee, but they don't actually understand that you actually start in the small-sided games, which is where it's really enjoyable. Like, reffing them games can be really enjoyable.
Oh, absolutely. There's no league in the country that you become a new referee and they throw you in to do a Premier A game against Mountview and Hartstown. Like, you're not thrown into those sort of games. Like, the league and especially the referee society, they're there to nurture you through to become the longevity of the game. They don't want you coming in and after a year, 2 years, 3 years jacking it in. they want you to be getting your 25-year service patch in the society. And I think we underestimate sometimes ourselves the amount of help that's there and guidance that's there as a referee if you want it. Like, there's nobody that won't answer the phone to you when you're a referee. You literally are, you can ring 20 fellas and they'll all answer the phone and give you advice and ask a question. And like the society, I have to say, I'm a huge fan of the society. The society is brilliant. The leagues help you through. And you start grounding your feet. Like, you do start under 10s, under 11, under 12s. You might get a lower under 13s as an 11 aside, but you definitely be blooded in. You're not thrown in at the deep end. And like, it is as rewarding as playing again.
Yeah, I get you there, because when you're reffing them small-sided games, like the innocence of them, Paul, the kids are looking up to you. They see someone in black with cards and a pen, and they really are respectful for you. And it's really rewarding when you're given decisions and explaining your decisions, how they look up to you. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, and especially at younger age. Like, if you see a young lad and he's 10 or 11 and he scores an absolute worldie, and you just say to them on the way back to the game, what a goal, what a goal. You can see them just lighting up with the fact that you have recognised that he has scored a wonderful goal. And like, that's what we're here for. Like, we're here. Like, there is three teams on the field. There's the referee, whether you're in a trio or they're on their own, and there's two teams. You know, and I think sometimes the misconception about referees, we don't care who wins the game. Like, we don't care. Who wins the game? We're only there to officiate the game, to the laws of the game. Like, people would say, oh, you're a home referee, and I definitely have a bit of a tag of not being a home referee. But I think that's where, like, I don't care who wins the game. I genuinely have no, I don't care who wins the game. I don't, like, if you win 5-0 or 7-0 or 8-0, I'm there to officiate within the laws of the game. So, and to see young lads participating in football at any level is a joy to watch as a referee, especially as a referee.
Excellent. Trev, do you want to come in on
that? I'm actually just listening away. So it's good to get when Paul said to me that there was a referee coming on, we have spoken about it for a while and was like, yeah, that's a great idea. But it is so important, because we're all involved in this game, whether it be playing, well, our days are gone, coaching. But the referee side of it is crucial to it all, and it's great to hear the love for the game. I know it should be obvious that the referees love the game. That's where they're in it. But sometimes when you're, as you said, you've the two teams, you're concentrating your own team, you're picking your team, you're looking at your subs, the referee nearly kind of just goes out of your head. But the fact that they're there, they've played ball at some kind of a level, and they're making this as enjoyable as possible, it's hugely important. It's really, really important. And when you get a good ref, you get a bad ref, you get a good team, you get a bad team, it's all the same. But when you get a ref that's straight down the middle, like what you said there, you don't really care. You don't care who wins. Once you're calling as you see it and keeping the kids and the adults safe, the rest should look after itself. Really, it is. Like, you know, you were saying there you were doing the schoolboy stuff. So what was the next step in your... You went then from the schoolboy, all single-sided, under 11s, 12s, 13s, up to 11-a-sides.
Yeah, and then you sort of leave on a Saturday and you become, like, back when I started, small-sided games were only on a Saturday. So you'd done a few games on Saturday, and then you went on and went through. And then as you progress through, you do get graded. Like, the start, you think you all start now. I think you start off at grade 5, I think, is the sort of starting block where you start now. And then as the years go on, you'll be graded by an assessor. Like, your assessor will come out, and sometimes people are afraid of an assessor. Like, I always loved an assessor. I always loved them. I always loved them coming out. I always engaged with them. I always nice conversation aside, because they're only guiding you to get better. They're not there to criticize you. Like Danny Lamb and Ken Judd, like they would come out and they would talk to you after game, and they point out little simple things that you genuinely don't see are doing. And it makes you a better referee. Like, I was refereeing for ages, and I was blowing the whistle every time he scored a goal. And it was only when I come off, and I was with Ken Stavre, and he said, what are you blowing the whistle for? And I said, I'm indicating it's a goal. He goes, well, you don't blow the whistle, because then everyone thinks there's something wrong with the goal.
Yeah.
He said, so I know you've been doing it for probably a year when I only started off, because I thought when you went bob and then the goal, you blew the whistle. You only blow, and them sort of tips that lads pick up over the years. And then what happens is you naturally go up in standard because the assessor goes out and goes, he's all right, he's good at this or that. And then you get premier games. Then you'll find yourself getting 14A, 15B, 16B, 17B. Then all of a sudden you'll see it where you'll have 14 in a progressional naturally. Because the assessors and the league want you to be in as a referee for as long as possible. So they don't want, it's 80 in Premier, it's against two rivals, 80 in Premier, both going for the league, where there's going to be loads of variables, there's going to be loads of calling for fouls, there's going to be loads of this, and where where if you're not strong enough, you can be rattled, and then you get off the pitch and go, I'm not doing that again. So they naturally just will feed you through the league until they feel you're right, and they'll go out and watch it, they'll assess you, and they won't throw you under the bus, you know? And then you naturally move into doing, you'll go out today and you'll have 15 Premier, 16 Premier, 17 Premier, 18 Premier. You'll go to one venue and you'll have four Premier games.
Yeah, I can see it in my own, as a referee now, I'm not too long in the game, but I can definitely see the progression. What you're talking about there, Paul. I'm raging. I miss Danny Lamb. I know Danny personally from the NDSL. I haven't been reffing under him. I know there's a bit of controversy, and he's whatever way he's gone left or right. But Danny's a good guy, and I'm raging. I'm not under his guidance, because anybody that I'm talking to or talking about Danny just sing from his praises. And I've met him a couple of times when I was down the NDSL. I know my lad was in the Kennedy Cup, and he was down there as kit man. He couldn't have been nicer. A lot of time for Dan. I'm just raising. I'm not under his wing.
Yeah, I have to say, the looks of it, like Danny Lamb for me, I think if he went to some FEI educational job or mentoring around referees, we'd probably retain a lot more referees than we currently are. Not that the lads that are doing it are bad, I just think Danny had a different way about him with most referees. Like, if you speak to, I know you've refereed with some really good referees, like some really good referees. Joe McDonald, still refereeing today. I only met him a couple of months ago. Really good referee. Myself and Brendan Twomey will be out doing Twomey. Me, him and Brendan Twomey will be putting the League of Ireland game. And you knew, just going out, you knew that we were on it. You just knew going out that we were on it. And yeah, there's loads of junior referees. And I think refereeing, for a long time was seeing as like second class citizen, you know, like, oh, you're a bleeding referee. Like, your family would nearly fall out with you for being a referee. If you come down the stairs, and your wife would be hissing at you as you go out the door in your black jersey, you know. But again, for me, it's like, I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. I love nothing more than a big game, like Mountview versus Hartstown. Like, you know, and I mentioned that game because that was a game I had in a semi-final of a cup, and it was Mountview and Hartstown, and it was deemed as that it was going to be tough senior level, you know. And I always remember, that's why I'm just mentioning that, like, now I remember that game. But, like, there's lads like that have sort of wandered out of the game that we need to remember. They're the fellas who keep us in the game, you know. Like, the likes of Danny Lamb definitely was a huge influence on my referee career, you know.
Polly, what makes, as you said there, a good referee? If you're talking to young referees or any young referees listening, what makes a good referee in your opinion?
Well, it's hard to tell. Like, at the end of the day, the laws of the game there's a certain amount of them that are factual. Like, an offside is an offside. And whether that's for me or whether that's for Paul Owens, that law is grand and true. He's offside. The other ones are a word of interpretation. Like, was that a reckless foul? Was it a dangerous foul? Was it excess force? Did I think it was excess force? Did he think it's excess force? So I think the main thing for a good referee is being prepared for the game. I think if you set your standard that you arrive half an hour before your game, your match card is filled in, You nearly walk in there like Conor McGregor. Like, you literally are confident in your own ability because you're prepared. And you can see managers if you arrive half an hour before the game, give them that card, tell them you want it back 15 minutes before the game starts. You don't want it at half time, and it's clear instruction. If you set down the clear instruction from the start, and I've probably been known over the years being very straight at the start of a game, speaking to managers, speaking to players, and then when a player kicks the ball away and he gets a yellow card, there's no one causing aggro because the manager says, should he told you at the start? If you kick the ball away, he's going to give you a yellow card. So, I mean, don't do anything silly. Don't kick the ball away because next thing you'll make a bad challenge and you'll be standing over there. Not because you made a really bad challenge, but because you decided to kick the ball away and you'll pick up a second yellow handy. Be honest with players. And there's also no harm in making a mistake, Pat. So, I mean, look. Yeah.
Well, I've got a touch on this.
Yeah. Like, we made a mistake in the game. I made two mistakes that I can genuinely remember sort of forever because they'd haunt me. I was refereeing a senior game and it was Conceely. The ball was doing my diagonals. The most important thing as a referee, you run diagonally. Sometimes you look like you're running away from the ball when you're actually running the better position to see the ball. And I literally, a lad went running through and he was about 10 yards offside. And I blew the whistle. And about 0.3 of a second later, he was 10 yards onside because the two players were standing right behind each other and I didn't see the second fella behind the first defender. And I put my mouth and I blew the whistle. And as I blew the whistle and put my hand in the air, the fella just popped out and he was 10 yards onside. So from my position of being 10 yards offside, he was 10 yards onside.
How did you handle that, Paul?
But just admitting my mistake. Because I think if you're honest, listen, yeah. Sorry about that. I think a bit of argy-bargy, then the half-time whistle went, and I called the striker in, and I literally apologised. I said, listen, I got that wrong. I got it wrong.
Fair play.
And I explained, I said, I literally got it wrong. As I was running through, he was perfectly perpendicular behind your man. I just didn't see him. As I blew the whistle, I went to me brain, fuck, because your man just reappeared, and you were 10 yards onside. And your man shook me hand and went, fair play, Derek. And I went, that's grand, thanks. And he walked off. Excellent. And the second half to come out, it was all forgotten about. I also done it in a League of Ireland game. I done it in a League of Ireland game down in Oscar Traynor. Balls and Galway. I called the two defenders. These two defenders, under 16, 17s. Defenders were argy-bargy with each other. The midfield and the left back were at each other all game. So a bit of a snipe at them. I called the two of them in to have a chat. Free kick. Called your man to have a chat. The man took the quick free kick, which was wrong. I should have allowed the defender to get back into position. Should have allowed him to take the free kick quickly. He took the free kick quickly and he shot. And the keeper made a save and went wide. The manager went mad. And the manager said to me, what would have happened if that ball would have gone the net? And all he said was, thank God it didn't.
Okay, so what was that happening there? So just so I get that one. You were at the calling that fullback in to have a chat with him. And while he was out of position, they took a quick free kick.
Yeah, I called the centre for I called the fullback and the centre midfielder in, or the centre forward in to have a chat, just to calm them down. Didn't want to see any, I don't look. And by having a simple chat with a lad, that's all it is. And the ball went down. The fella turned his back to a job back in, and I let him take the quick free kick. But the fullback wasn't back in his position, and John nearly scored. And the manager just said to me, "What would have happened if that goal went in?" And I said, "Thank God it didn't." That's all. Because
so,
it was a mistake.
That's kind of leading me into the next one, Paul. How hard is it to referee a game?
Yeah, it's good. Like, on your own.
So I'll rephrase it, Paulie, right? What do you think what do you think the guys on the sideline don't understand how difficult it is for those guys in the middle? The simple things of, and I'll give you an example for one for me that I found really hard at the start was, as soon as I felt I was going to make a decision or I was looking for the challenge coming in, someone had run across my eye line. And it seemed to be always when there was a big challenge coming, you know, when there was a centre half coming over to a centre forward, the two of them were going for the ball and all of a sudden three players run across your eye line and you're going, oh, and all you hear is bang.
Yeah.
For the people on the sideline, what would you say to them? How hard is it like that you just don't understand?
Like, it's fundamentally like it's a really difficult job, right? It's a really difficult job. It is, because you can only call what you see. And unfortunately, if you don't see it, you can't call it. Do you know what I mean? You can hear all the noise in the world, but if you don't see it, you can't call it. And you do get caught, because you can't have eyes in the back of your head. You can't. Like, you see people, something happens behind your back. You, like me in that game at Conceely, I got caught where the defender was caught behind the other defender. It was perfect. I couldn't have done any worse. It was 0.3 of a second. He went from being 10 yards offside to being 10 yards onside. And sometimes, if you get the majority of decisions right and you're in a reasonably right position, you can sell it. You can sell that decision, because you always need to be in a better position than the manager. Referees, but they're not actively mobile, but they're always going to get it, because the manager is always in a better position to see the foul than the referee. And that's where the fitness and the positional talk, like, I know referees that, like, can run 500 miles, but they're brutal referees.
Yeah.
It's about positioning, and it's about being honest in your positioning. Do you know what I mean? You need to be in a better position than the lads on the sideline to see that instant. And sometimes you don't see it. And you just don't see it. Like that's the thing. Like, human error. Like everyone, a centre-half makes a mistake, it causes a goal. Nobody jumps up and down over him. There's no parents abusing him from the sideline. They encourage him. But the minute a referee makes a mistake that leads to a goal, it's a witch hunt.
Yeah. It's funny because in pre-season when we were playing a few friendlies and the odd time we wouldn't get it, we wouldn't be able to have a ref, and I'd say, right, I'll go in and do it, and literally never refed and never will again after my performance. But what you're saying there about the positioning is really interesting, right? First and foremost, anyone that's listening to this, if you've never refereed a game, and I mean like even a friendly, even in between like two local teams, You won't understand it until you're on that position. The positioning that I was taking up, I was nearly getting ahead of the ball because I was looking at, he's going to pass it there. So I was nearly playing as a player, trying to get into positions where I think he's going to put the ball. Whereas, like what you're saying, an actual fact, and I presume it only come with experience, I need to be side on there, or I need to hold it with position, or I need to, like what you're saying, Paul, right, there's these lads that are coming from my right, I need to get past. Like, it's all little things that I know it sounds a lot, but you naturally pick up over the years, and it's so important. And I think they're the big thing to, because like what you said, people make mistakes. Paul, you said as well, you say at the start of games, like, refs are going to make mistakes in the day, players are going to make mistakes, because if it didn't, it'd be boring nil all, and nobody would win, because everyone has to make a mistake for something to happen in a game. And why can't it be when it's a referee, it seems to be a different ball game altogether, you know. One question I would have for you is, over the games, because you seem to play, you've refed at all different levels, very high levels, what game would you say, and I know you mentioned that one about the offside, but what game would really stuck in your head, for not for the obvious reasons, just that you really enjoyed, or that something happened, you know?
It's a law in the game that we probably, when we're doing our course and they read out the law or the law of the game and the decision, if something happens in the game, you never believe it's going to happen. You never believe that a team is going to score a direct free kick, has a free kick and is going to put it into its own goal, right? So the decision there is, if you have a direct free kick and you score an own goal from that, the restart of the game is a corner kick, right? Now, I remember I was doing a game, and
do you understand what he means there, Trev?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, so I'll explain what happened to the game. So, the game was, it was 1-0, a few minutes to go, pressure coming from the away team, ball was lobbed in, cleared offside decision happening, ball was placed on the ground. I was going, looked at me watch, I genuinely looked at me watch and went, if he kicks this forward in any way of a length, it's game over here. It's game over. These lads are going to win 1-0. He decided to play it back to his goalkeeper. And his goalkeeper wasn't watching what he was doing, and it went into the goal. So the away team then celebrated like they won the World Cup, because they think it's 1-1. So they're celebrating extra time. So because people don't know the laws of the game. In general, most coaches don't know the laws of the game. And that's a huge problem across the game. Is they don't know the laws of the game. So they were celebrating like they won the World Cup. I'm blowing the whistle going, no, it's not a goal. Right? So then you have to try and explain that not only is it not a goal, it's not a free kick. Because you can't award them a free kick because nothing happened against them. You can't allow the home team to retake the free kick because they've clearly made an error by scoring and putting it in the back of their net. So they're going mental. So then you produce, which is the true law of the game, is that the restart is a corner kick. You can hear them and they're shouting and roaring at you, thinking you've made it up on your way over from the M50. They think you've made that up because it's a real, you think it's never going to happen to you, but it happened to me and that, and it was a minute from the game. 1-0 up, scored a direct free kick for themselves in an own goal, which is a restart by a corner kick. And it was absolute bedlam. And it ended up sending off two lads in the millie because a fella caught me a cheat and another fella said he was going to wreck me car because I was restarting the game with a corner kick, which logically doesn't make any sense, but that's the law of the game. And I remember coming off and the game, they hooked the corner kick, game went upfield, a couple of minutes left, game over. And there was more, there was anarchy at the end of the game because they'd lost the game thinking that it should have gone to extra time. And we went into the dressing room, I was changing the dressing room, grabbing my bag, I wasn't changing. And the manager should come in and went, listen, he said, we Googled that, you were spot on, fair play to you. But for 15 minutes, I was getting the absolute debt all the way to the dressing room. The absolute debt because people seem to they make a mistake. And I think that's a huge fundamental problem in the game is that coaches in general, and it's brilliant because most coaches are dads. Most coaches are dads. The same way I started coaching, I was just a dad and I ended up coaching. But I think most clubs should have access to the laws of the game that people understand them. Because I think the majority of flack or stick that I have received over the years, and I made mistakes 100%, but the general most flack I've received is from managers who don't know the laws of the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, managers are unaware that you can't be offside from a corner, wrecked from a corner. You can't be offside from a throw-in. And like, it happens in games where they think you can be offside from a throw-in. And the centre half would shout, out you go! And next thing you know, the centre forward is standing on his own on the 18 yard box. And your man throws the ball to him and he just puts it in the back of the net. And everyone's going, he's offside. And you're going, no, you can't, you're offside.
Tell us that story, Polly, about your offside one from the goal kick.
I think I've lost there, Paul, have you?
I think you're back in there. You're telling me there last week you had a decision, let's say, from a goal kick. Someone took a goal kick and the centre-half stepped out.
Yeah, but the manager told them all up on the halfway line. Like, had them all the way up on the halfway line, the centre. Do you mean?
Think we.
And everyone's gone.
We lost you there, Polly.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, some of the decisions that's happened over the years, like, that people don't realise that you can't be offside from a throw-in. And I've often seen managers say to lads, everyone out. And then the centre forward is left on the edge of the 18 yard box on his own. And the fella simply just throws the ball to him and he sticks it in the back of the net. And everyone's going, he's offside. And you're going, no, you can't be off. When did that rule come in? And you're there going, I don't know. Like, I think it was in the 70s. I'm not sure. Like, it's been in forever. You know what I mean? Because managers don't understand the laws of the game.
Do you think that's where the abuse comes from referees, that the managers or the coaches or the people, the spectators, actually don't know the rules of the game and feel they can give you belters over it?
Yeah, I think it's a real strange one, the abuse. I've received a bit of it over the years. Not much, I'll be fair. I don't receive much because I don't tolerate it. I think I have a very low tolerance for it, you know. I think some of it comes from lack of understanding of the laws of the game, for sure. I think the other side of it is that they have skin in the game. We don't. Like, we don't have skin in the game as referees. and I can't stress that to people who watch the game or people, we as referees genuinely don't care who wins. Where the people who are giving you the abuse and people who are shouting the sidelines, they want little Timmy to win. They have skin in the game. So that drives some of it. And our understanding of the laws of the game. Because some of the laws of the games are an interpretation. Like, I'll give a free kick this week and I'll give a yellow card because I think it was reckless. And then next week, a referee will have a different view on that. We'll just give a free kick and no yellow card.
Yeah. Like it's very, very hard because you touched on it earlier on. It's all happening at a split of a second. Ball comes in, bang in the tackle. Did he genuinely go for the ball? Was there force in his tackle? Did he just miss time it? Was it reckless? Was it careless? You have to make that decision like that, in that instant, under that pressure, in a big game.
Yeah.
And I think people understand how hard it is.
Yeah, and then you, in that split second, the thought process is, you've also to look back, was there a secondary between them? Is it a niggle? Was there a bit of divilment in that tackle? Or was it mistimed? Because he just mistimed it, or was he mistimed because he had a bit of a... the process in that 2 seconds or 3 seconds that you have. Because then what happens is, if you delay, then people go, oh, you took your time making that decision. I go, yeah, but didn't they get it right? Like, would you rather me make a quick decision, or would you rather me take me time and get it right? Do you know what I mean? And you also have to be confident you got it right. You have to believe yourself you got it right. You have to believe yourself you got it right. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you have to stick to it. Like, you know? Because people think that, like, and that's where you need to be. I suppose you need to be professional. You know, you need to set that standard when you arrive. Like, if you arrive at a game half an hour before and you lay down the law by telling your man you want the car back in 15 minutes, he knows you're not messing around.
Yeah, absolutely. Trev, do you want to come in on that there?
Well, I suppose, like, it's you both are, like, obviously, Paul, you're starting on, kind of only starting out, Paul Owens, only starting out, so it's great to hear both sides, because you also have, like, I often think about where all this hassle comes from, and not necessarily the players or the coaches, which, obviously, a lot of it comes from. I often find something can kick off from the sidelines with regards to parents, and I'm sure you've had situations, you're reffing long enough, because I've been watching football and I've seen it, where sidelines are going chaotic and there's punches being thrown and all that because something is said because a parent is beside another parent. You're then, as much as they're not in the game, obviously this is all hassle for you, and then it could ruin the game. What way, like, how do you even, I know you're kind of, you speak to the teams and the coaches before it, like, how do you handle situations like that, or do you?
Well, generally, no, you don't. You don't get involved with talking to a man on the sideline who's frantic. You no longer get involved in that. You have enough to do dealing with the players on the field of play. You let the managers deal with the spectators. You let the club deal with the spectators. And I think that's a role where the club come into it. Like, no, like, a club need to, like, step in and put rules in place around players, around abuse of referees, around spectators. And a club can help that. Like, as Paul knows, like, I'm not refereeing this year because I'm chairman of Rathdowd Harps. But just in Rathdowd Harps, we have introduced a rule last year when I took over, is that we don't pay the fine for any player who sent off for abusing a referee. The parents will pay the fine.
Absolutely right.
So we've only had two this year, fortunately, and reluctantly they paid the €50 fine because we won't pay it, and they will remain suspended from the club until it's paid, because the only person that will stop Johnny from doing stuff like that is the parents. Like, the manager is not there to school individuals. He's not there to parent individuals. But as soon as Johnny, who was abused a referee once or twice, and the mom and dad are down £150, it will soon stop. I can nearly guarantee you that now. It'll soon stop. And clubs have a huge responsibility for that, because I know it's the old saying that's gone around for years, there's no game, no referee, no referee. That's 100% true. That's 100% true. If a referee doesn't turn up tomorrow, there's no game. And there's this sort of myth going around like that referees are in it for the money. Like, I'm telling you now, it's, there's not a huge amount of money in refereeing. If you're into your refereeing, like, I have a set of flags and mics upstairs that cost me €1,200. So I mean, they cost me €1,200. So I mean, me gear every year, I would spend every year between €300 and €400 on stuff. So I mean, your membership at the society, your travel, like, I always laugh when someone would say to you, and you'd leave, I live in Rathaut, and I'd have a game in Talla at 6:30 on a Thursday night, and you get £47 for it. And you've left your house in Rathaut at 5:00, your game is at 7:00, you're home at 9:30, you've gone through 2 toll bridges, and you've driven 70 kilometres, and you get £50. If you worked a minimum wage job at McDonald's, you'll get that. So the whole thing of people,
you won't, I mean, also maybe get abuse either, though, Paul. That's the other thing about it. I'm not saying you get it everywhere, but you know what I mean? Yeah. This is something that, like, if I go into work tomorrow, I'm not going to be having someone beside me calling me this, is this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? So these are all factors that people have to be thinking about.
It's just things that people say to you. You know, I've had it over the years, like, now, and I'd be in Dundrum on a Thursday night for a 8:30 kickoff, and you wouldn't be getting home to Rathaut till 10:40. And a fella would say to you, oh, it's handy money, £54, it's handy money. You'd nearly be breaking your heart laughing, you know. Like, it's handy money if it's 5 minutes from my house and it's 3 games and I don't have to invest £100 in a pair of boots and I don't have to buy flags and I don't have to buy spoiled red and yellow cards and I don't have to join the society and I don't have to pay the FAO. I just sometimes think we... Not saying we get a raw deal, but I just think something the interpretation. Like, is there a few pounds in refereeing if you do it consistently? Yeah, you'll probably pick a bit of pocket money. But if you take out your expenses, like if Paul is sent to Wicklow tomorrow to referee 3 MGL games and he gets £125 for 3 games and he's gone to the toll bridge, he's been out of his house for 9 hours and he's driven 80 kilometres, there's not a lot of fat in that left leg. And that's where I think where the myth comes from. You know, people are like, oh, I mean, you went watch your money today and you got €27 for 3 hours.
Yeah, 100%. There was one, I'll give you a quick one, man. I think referees need to be stronger themselves. Now, I'm no expert, but I had one there a couple of weeks ago, Polly, where a coach gave me belters for start of the game, just had a go at me. Like, every decision that I made against him, he had a go. Right, just if it was offside, if it was a tackle, and they were, I know myself hand in hand, they were the 3 right decisions, but every decision. And I turned around to him and said, right, that's enough, I'm not listening to you anymore. And his reaction to me was one that got me, where he went, for God's sake, ref, that's the first time I said that to you. And I was like, you actually think you have the right for a free go? Do you think your free go is up now?
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's like when a player says to you, like, no, if I'm not in the game, and I like to talk to players. I don't mind when I'm not closed. And a fella was, oh, it's my first tackle. I go, yeah, but it was a bad one. That's my first tackle, ref. Yeah, but it was a fucking terrible one, son. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you're lucky to be still here. Like, and then you go, like, a fella would go trolling through this lad and a fella would jump out of the way and you get a yellow card excess for, yeah, but I never touched him. Thank God you never touched him, son. Mm. Thank God you never touched him. You'd end up in jail, I said. and that's where some of the laugh comes from. And in fairness to the FAO, and it's unfortunate that it takes an instant of abuse, a serious assault for us to put things in place. But we do now have a system in place that we deal directly with people who are abusive to referees. Before we didn't, before it went through the league and somebody would know somebody in the league and, oh, sure, Johnny's not that bad, it's his first time. Now it's very clear and very a thing. If you get assaulted, you don't contact your league. You're straight to society and slattery beyond it. And it'll be all over it. Like, they're absolutely all over it. I mean, we now have sanctions in place. Like, if you hear a peep from the lion and you don't know who it is, that's why I always say to the lads, it's vitally important when you're getting your match card filled in that the manager, if you read the card and on the bottom it's normally a squiggle, It's not me a squiggle. It's not me just Johnny or fuck squiggle or something like that. You don't know who it is. Always make sure you find out who the fella is in charge. And you want his name, and it's very polite. What's your name? Paul Owens. Thanks, Paul. And you write it down, and you're Paul Owens. Because the minute there's a peep out of the line, you nail Paul Owens. Mm. You nail Paul Owens. I don't know who it was. It's fucking you, bud. Mm. And you're getting it. And you give him a yellow card, and he'll shut the fella up on the line. And you need to be more concerned. I think if there was more fines handed out to managers or more yellow cards handed out to managers by referees, it would soon put a curb to it, you know? And you need to be strong. It's not easy. I'm not saying you're going, it's very easy to do it, because sometimes you're refereeing in your locality. And for years, we probably accepted it. Like, I'm in Rathaut, and I had a fella in Rathaut, and really nice lad. Really nice lad. I found him. I always found him really nice. But see, on a Sunday morning when he was refereeing his young fella in Rathaut, I played nightmare. A nightmare. And then you'd meet him Monday in Centra, and you'd go, "Oh, Jays, how are you?" "Oh, how are you, Paul? How's things? How was your weekend?" And I'd be looking at him going, "You gave me the dogs yesterday."
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And he would walk away like, "But that's just part of the game." Where it's not part of the game. It's like it's just not acceptable and not part of the game. And being a referee today, like, I'm going to get my young lads, a couple of lads that I've done around the village. Being a referee is so rewarding. Like, I couldn't recommend being a referee any more than I can. And especially today with a young lad, like, the progression, there was no school of excellence when I was starting. There's a school of excellence now. So if you want to make a career out of being a referee, you can. And there's all the supports there from the FEI, from the society. You can go in a program that's called a school of excellence. I've known many of the junior referees that when I was refereeing were going into it. I think Daniel White is one of the referees now. He's from out there. He's gone into it. There's like really good refereeing standard.
Can I play devil's advocate here, right? Because this is all too lovey-dovey. All refs are brilliant, right? What about the terrible refs, right? And this is, and all joking aside, right? So it's great to hear about young fellas coming in and young women and girls and all that, because we do get them, and it's brilliant to see. And I think the training is hugely important. There's nothing worse, and it's happened, because for every good ref, i.e. yourselves, Paul, whatever, you know what I mean, you get the lad coming on the side of the pitch, and I understand that you have, like what you said, you lay down the law. It's about respect, you know, but respect is also given the other way. Sometimes they come on and it's my pitch, it's my football, they're my corner flags, they're my nets. And it's very, very rare, thankfully, that it happens. But it happens. And I've had one or two of them over the last couple of years. And it's a nightmare. Because they've nearly kind of... The game is ruined straight away. And it's a case of nobody's enjoying it. Neither team is enjoying it. And this is where it's coming back to the point that with the training that you're talking about, Paul, and the assessments. It's hugely important for everyone. Not just for you and all the other refs to get better in this fact that, like, with your decisions or whatever it may be, but also just with regards to, like what you were saying, you were blowing the whistle when a goal went in. Maybe sometimes they don't see half of the stuff they're doing, or they're hearing about half their stuff. They don't want to hear about it. But if they're being assessed, and thankfully they are, hopefully there's a bit of learning, because now, again, it's a small percentage I'm talking about, but they're there. Let's not lie about it. They are there. So hopefully...
No, I'd agree with you, but I think some of that is led by supply and demand.
I
think some of that is led by supply and demand, is the fact that the amount of referees that now, as a natural consequence of not having enough referees, end up refereeing more games than they probably want. Like, there is referees, you can see refereeing today who would excel in small-sided refereeing situations. Yeah. But they're doing an 18 Premier to get the game on. Like, the leagues are hamstrung with the fact is that some of the referees don't want to be doing 18 Premier, but they'll do it. They know themselves they're not able to do it, but they're doing it to get the game on, because we don't have the supply of referees. We don't have 60 referees on a Saturday and 60 on a Sunday. We now have 60 on a Saturday and we're using 20 of them to move across. Like, the amount of leagues that would use referees from other leagues just to survive, you know? And like, I'm not saying every referee is brilliant. I'm not saying even I was even a good referee. I never really assessed myself as being a good referee, but I've done okay. You know, I've always done an honest job, whether it was a mistake or whether it wasn't. I've always done an honest job, and I've always went out and gave it my best. You know, I've never went out and shortchanged a fella. I never went out and didn't put the effort in. But it's about supply and demand. We don't have enough referees, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Like, it really is. I couldn't recommend it highly enough for more young lads, or even lads who are finished playing. Does definitely give them a different perspective on the game.
Yeah, but even that, I'll be honest as well, Paul, and Trev, there is some referees out there who are not even watching the game. They don't know the laws of the game. They're not watching the game. They're even reffing, and they can be a nightmare. They're asking for trouble. Like, there is referees out there, not a lot of referees out there, but I've come across a few myself, even before I was reffing, even while I'm reffing, and going, pal, you don't even know the laws. You haven't even been watching this game. No wonder I'm getting frustrated with you on the sideline. You know, but the fact that there is assessors out there now, and the assessors will come thick and hard, that is a good thing. But I do agree with Trev, there's some of them there, you're just going, oh, Jesus. Like, you're bringing aggro.
But like in all things, Paul, like, there's levels in everything you do. Like, you'll meet a fella in work tomorrow, and he's earning the same money as the fella who's doing all the work. It's just, that's human nature, you know. That's human nature. It's just human nature that you're always going to have a percentage. You're never going to get 500, 600 referees, and every one of them's going to be brilliant and into it and loving it and blah, 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 blah. You're always going to have that percentage. But there is a wider view that, like, every referee is out to do somebody. The losing team is always being done, you know. And I think for myself, over the years, I think some of the best compliments I ever received is from teams who have lost games. And went, fair play to your ref, well done, great game, blah, blah. And it's the fellow who's been beaten 5-0 or 4-0 or gave away a penalty in the last minute. And some fella, like, you do meet those. It's same with managers. You meet some managers and you say to yourself, this fella's a headbanger. And then you go out and meet another fella and he goes, no, that was a penalty. That was a penalty. No, fair play, that was a penalty. And then you've other fella who was 700 yards away, was probably looking at his back turned, and he'll fight you down to the ground to the last minute and say it was never a penalty. And you're going, there's a fella gone off in an ambulance there. And he'd still say, it's not a penalty, you robbed us today. So it's all, that's what makes the game, isn't it? That makes the game
Yeah, absolutely right,
100%. Come here, before we let you go, Polly, I know we've taken nearly an hour up here at the time. What's the biggest game you've refereed?
Ireland v Poland, under 15s international in Whitehall. Brilliant, lovely, such an experience. It's a full day. You arrive down on an international level, you need to get a sheet of paper and they tell you what's going to happen. So I always remember that game. Say you're going to get the ball at 3:05, you get the ball at 3:05, you don't get it at 3:04, you don't get it at 3:06. You get the ball at 3:05, you know. And I remember going out to the pitch, stands were full, walking out, standing there, national anthem come on. Just before a woman, a girl from where, just come out and moved me about 9 inches to the left. Literally, didn't say anything to me, just sort of moved me a small bit, about 9 inches to the left, just as the national anthem was being played. So for that one, really good game. Finished 1-1, gave a penalty for Ireland. About 17 or 18 minutes in, penalty for Ireland.
And was it a penal now? Can you be honest about it? Like, you know,
that was a penal, all right. And it's guys, I have the shirt I wore that day for the game. I have it framed and I got it embroidered and have it framed. And I have the team sheet from that day, the original team sheet from that day from Poland. Gary O'Donoghue, who was the manager, and Damien Duff was there. So I'd say that was probably the biggest game. And same again, they were here for two internationals. I got that. It was myself, Paddy Conway. I can't remember who the Tordon for artificial wear, but myself and Paddy, and that, I'd say that was the biggest game, I'd say. The best game, I probably won the game in the Aviva. Yeah, but that was the best. The best ground I ever reffed in, I'd say, is Richmond Park, because the line is terrible. Any referee will tell you the line nearest the stand is absolutely brutal. You're running up and down hills. It's worn out. The fuck it is. It's terrible. But I'd say Richmond Park is the best ground I've ever reffed in.
Brilliant. Well, come here, Paul. Thanks so much for coming on and joining us on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to get you on. Yeah, your years of experience is easy to see. Yeah. I really wanted to get you on because I think it's an important discussion within the football community as refereeing and the ups, the downs, the joys, the hardship. And, you know, we can only get through it with the likes of yourselves, and the only best way to explain it is with the likes of yourself. So I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, mate.
No bother, lads. Keep it up. It's a great podcast. I've been listening since day one. It's brilliant. So fair play to you, lads. It's a great addition to the old podcast scene, in fairness.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, mate.
No bother. Thanks, lads.
How are you? Roddy Collins here. And I listen to This Is Football podcast.